Angela Davis, one of the Black Panthers. She said, "I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept."
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Call Her Madam podcast.
Hello. We are so excited for today's podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, Assemblywoman Selena Torres. So before I introduce you to the Assemblywoman, I just really wanted to say that it's such an honor that she's here with us today and is able to speak to all of us about her experience running for office, as well as being in office, like this entire season really highlights. Her bio really does not do her justice, and I'm going to let her introduce herself really quickly. But beforehand, I just wanted to give you all a very quick summary of who she is. Assemblywoman Selena Torres is an educator. She was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. Her father fled the Salvadorian Civil War, and her mother left Hawaii to pursue a career as a high school English teacher. She's a product of Nevada's public education. In December 2019, she graduated from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas with her master's in education. Throughout her time, she founded the Cesar Chavez Day Las Vegas Festival, encouraging high school participants to pursue higher education. She continues to work as a public school teacher. While in office, Assemblywoman Torres has served on the Assembly Judiciary Committee and Interim Legislative Committee for Child Welfare and Juvenile Justice. She is currently serving as the Vice Chair of Governmental Affairs and is a member of Education and Legislative Operations in the Elections Committees. Selena is currently chair of the Nevada Hispanic Legislative Caucus. Now, with that said, Assemblywoman, if you would like to introduce yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here today. My name is Selena Torres, and I represent Assembly District 3, which is in Southern Nevada or Las Vegas, a city that I'm sure most of us know about. I'm super excited to be a returning legislator. So this is my second time that I've been elected to serve and represent my constituency. I was born and raised in Las Vegas, and even more importantly for me, I was born and raised in the district that I actually currently represent. My family, the majority of my family continues to live in that district. And so for me, it's really important that we have voices at the table that understand the needs of our community and diverse voices at the table that understand the needs of the community. And I hope and I bring that with me every day when I walk into this legislative building. Before we get too far, though, I just want to make sure we all get a little bit of practice saying Nevada, because that's like the Nevada pet peeve. I think when presidential candidates and any like federal office candidate comes over and they want to, you know, talk here Nevada, that's like the first thing. They're like, you better say Nevada, right? So it's Nevada, not Nevada.
Sorry about that. It's good to learn.
So that being said, what made you want to run for office in the first place? What initially gave you that desire?
I think a few things made me want to run for public office. I was always super involved as a kid. I think it's probably important for me to know I'm the youngest serving legislator in the Nevada State Assembly. So I'm 25 years old. I actually have a colleague in the Senate that's also 25. So it's super great that we get a partner and work together. And, you know, when I was super young, I was always involved and different civic activities going on in our community, getting the Latino vote specifically out, getting Latinos registered to vote, which has been a large initiative here in the state of Nevada for the last like 15 years, volunteering on campaigns. I remember when then Senator Harry Reid was running for his reelection campaign, I believe 2009, 2010, and, you know, volunteering at those events, helping with phone banking and things like that. So recognizing that policy always impacts our life. It's not separate from our life. I think, you know, when people say, you know, I don't like politics, well, maybe not politics, but policy is always a part of our everyday life. And so, you know, as an educator, I saw that in a very different way. In the classroom, I recognized that it wasn't just education that impacted my students in our classroom. It was this whole host of other things. It was their access or lack of access to affordable housing, affordable healthcare, and a quality education system that impacted them. The systemic inequities impacted my students. And so I think, you know, my students ultimately are the motivation for me running for office, because I recognize that if we want to improve our education system here in the state of Nevada, it wasn't just about throwing money at the problem, and it wasn't just about improving education. It was about improving this, all these other things.
So kind of, you know, being really Gen Z, you're 4 years older than we are. How was your experience at such a young age running for office? Because you've been in office since 2018 now. So that experience at such a young age running for office, especially being a Latina woman, how did you kind of shape your campaign strategy around that and using your age to your advantage?
So when I was first like approached to run, somebody said, you know, hey, have you considered running for office? That district is open. The incumbent was running for a different seat in state ballot race. My first answer was actually that I was too young. So I kind of thought of myself, which is exactly what I tell people not to do now. But I think that, what's important to recognize is that, young voters deserve a voice at the table. And so that means having young people that are elected. And, you know, I'm not looking for quick fixes to the problem or band-aids to fix the problem. We're looking for long-term solutions because I'm going to continue to be here, most likely in this legislative building, but then also here in the state of Nevada for a long time. So I want to find permanent solutions to our problems. I also think in some ways, I bring I reach a different like voter base that maybe some of my colleagues don't reach. I've been super like active on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, which has been a lot of fun, but it's a good way to like motivate and reach young constituents throughout the state of Nevada, even if they don't live in my district. So that they're informed about the good work that we're doing here at the Nevada legislature. Additionally, I think, I'm upbeat. I bring a different perspective. And then I bring my educational experience as well, right? Working in the classroom in a community that has been systemically and historically disenfranchised. And so I bring that to the table. And so I think having young people in office is just as important as having, any type of diversity here in the state of Nevada. We celebrated having the first female majority. And I think, a lot of the reason that we're able to have some of these big wins is because we ended, because we implemented term limits. Right. And so I think that if we didn't have term limits, we wouldn't have young people here in this building.
That's so true. That's actually a topic that we talked about in our last podcast with Jen Perlman, who ran for Congress against Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the 23rd District of Florida, because Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been in office for a very long time. So she was challenging like a long-term incumbent. So it's really interesting to hear that they implemented term limits in Nevada. That's really cool. But that being said, you're talking about using social media, meeting people where they're at. And I think that's a beautiful idea and a beautiful way to like really talk to voters. But when you first ran, what were some of your policy initiatives and has that changed since you've been in office and what are your current ones?
I think one of the big issues that I ran on was education and how we improve education policy. And I think that's something that I continue to be impassioned by and work on today. And so I'm very fortunate to sit on the education committee 2 sessions in a row. Some of the policy that I'm most excited about is the small steps in advancement for English language learner policy. I work with a large English language learner population, and my district has a large English language learner population. So for me, it's super important that we have policy that impacts ELL students. And the unfortunate reality is there's very few policies that legislators carry in that have to do with English language learner education, because it's something so obscure if you're not an educator that you wouldn't really know where to get started. And so I'm very excited about the English language learner policy that I've created. Another thing that has really been important to me is supporting a woman's access to choice. And I think that means a few different things. That means reproductive access to reproductive education. That means access to contraception. That means access to abortion in our communities. And so one of the bills I'm excited to co-sponsor this legislative session is going to allow for birth control to be distributed over the counter in Nevada pharmacies. Or behind the counter at the pharmacies. And for me, that's super exciting because I know firsthand how hard it has been to access birth control, and especially during the pandemic. And so this is just gonna make it a little bit easier for women to have access to contraception.
So with that, kind of more of what has really been a lot of the struggles that you've been facing while in office at such a young age, especially taking someone who's incumbency, he was, I'm assuming, much older than you were. So in that sense, kind of like, in a way, some people say, oh, like, I don't have respect from my other colleagues because they don't think I'm up to par. I don't have the experience, the age, etc. Especially being a woman, we are a lot of the times pushed down because of that, especially on the experience scope, even though it's really doesn't matter. Women tend to be more experienced than men when it comes to running for public office. So in that sense, what has really been your experience firsthand?
I will say I have a very young district. So my district, I think, received me very well because it's such a young community. The largest population in my community is under the age of 40. And so I think that, you know, when I'm knocking on doors, I look like the district that I'm serving. And my predecessor was also pretty young, a couple years older than I was when I was first elected and when he was first elected. But it was also pretty young. So I think it was very familiar to my community to have a young representative. I will say, though, that I think that there has been added barriers being in a system, being in the system where, especially the last legislative session, I was significantly younger than the majority of my colleagues. And for whatever reason, you know, and I always say, like, I didn't know always which part of my identity it was that, you know, triggered something. I wasn't sure if it was because I was young. I wasn't sure if it was because I was Latina. I wasn't sure if it was because I was a woman or if it was just like some combination of all three of those. Because of that, like, I think that, you know, there were some unfortunate barriers that I had to overcome. Like, I had to prove myself and that I deserved to be in these spaces more than maybe some of my colleagues when they were elected because of the titles they have or because of the color of their skin or the way they look or their age. They didn't necessarily have those barriers. You know, I've had my fair share of, like, uncomfortable situations or people just doubting my abilities. I also think that, like, when we talk about, like, this, like, the legislative process, I think, you know, there's been an unfortunate amount of, like, almost like sexual violence within the system. I will say that, you know, here at the Nevada State Legislature, it has always been addressed, and I'm very confident and comfortable with the leadership that we have here at the state legislature to help ensure that, you know, any violators are, you know, addressed. But I think it's unfortunate that, you know, that there's this system, like this good old boys club that continues to exist and that essentially, you know, pushes and says, you know, like, if you want this, you better do this. And I just don't think that that's positive reality for women. So I'm fortunate and I'm very happy with the leadership that we have here at the state legislature to ensure that we put an end to these systems. And I think that me existing and working in this space helps to disrupt those systems. And I'm committed to continuing to work on policy that'll address that as well.
Yeah. So how do you approach just, you know, talking to someone on the other side of the aisle, someone who doesn't necessarily agree with you, especially on policy that you're really trying to get past that your district is, like, depending on?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And so I'm very excited to be a very progressive member of my of this caucus, of my caucus and of this legislative body. But I think that building relationships is one of the most important things to being a successful legislator. And so I have I have good friendships and relationships with people across the aisle and in my own caucus as well. And I think that helps strengthen my ability to get work done because I can have these conversations. And sometimes it's about, like, a little bit of negotiation, like, what do I need to do to get you comfortable with this bill? And sometimes that means that I'm never going to get them there. And I recognize that, and that's all right. But sometimes it's as simple as, like, a word change, or maybe they just need information. I know with my English Language Learner Bill of Rights, there was a little bit of opposition because there was just, like, a lack of understanding that the rights enumerated were already protected by federal law, and it was just making sure that people knew those rights. And so when I was able to get them the information that they needed to feel comfortable with that, they supported the piece of legislation, or the majority of them did. And so I think that it's really important to find ways that you can communicate and work across the aisle, even if you disagree. And I think, like, some part of that is just, like, you know, the humanity within me has to recognize the humanity in them and vice versa. And so, funny enough, I actually, on my TikToks, and everyone should follow at Selena Torres Envy, but on my TikToks, one of my favorite TikToks is with one of my colleagues, Assemblywoman MacArthur, is definitely one of the most conservative individuals in this legislative building. And now we're good friends. You know, we go to events together, we have dinner, and he dances on my TikToks. And Assemblywoman MacArthur is great. He's very interesting. We disagree on a lot of our policy. But once in a while, I can get him to support a piece of legislation. So I actually got him to support cultural competency for mental health professionals, which was super exciting for me because it was a bipartisan bill and it wasn't meant to be controversial at all. And so there is, I think when you can build those relationships, it's easier for you to work across the aisle and have those conversations.
That's super awesome. I definitely want to go check out the TikTok. I think it's what you brought up a really great point. It could honestly just be like a wording and then that will change everything. Like I work for March for Our Lives and a lot of my job entails lobbying. And so we're like lobbying for gun violence prevention legislation, but as simple as saying gun safety rather than saying gun control or, you know, gun, I don't know. Yeah. Just saying gun safety rather gun control. Republicans are way more susceptible to like signing on to something or listening. It's very interesting. Just like that one word changes everything.
Messaging is everything. Like I think like the better, the longer I get here, I'm here in the legislative building, the better I get at messaging. And it's so important.
So kind of with something that you just said, it brought this, like I kind of thought about it, but a lot of our current, let's say federal legislation is very partisan. And there's a huge partisanship and like, there's not a lot of like help and commitments. No, that's not the right word. There's not a lot of like relationships among the aisle to help develop policy that is in fact going to help people. It's just more of like what my party wants. So kind of like in that perspective, how like the partisanship aspect within state legislations, is it the same? Are people more likely to then like develop positive relations with each other? Like how you said with the very conservative assemblyman in the building.
I think that, you know, state legislators have the opportunity to have more bipartisanship. You know, there's less of us. There's less of us in the building, too. So it's a lot easier for us to build those relationships. Also, the way our process is here in Nevada with 120 days and, you know, we're 120 days in Carson City. There's not a lot in Carson City. It's a rather small town. It's not Las Vegas at all. And so, you know, we get close to our colleagues and we spend a lot of time here working on the floor. And, you know, getting legislation in and out. And so I think that there is a lot of bipartisanship in state legislatures. And I don't know that we see that on a federal level, but, you know, I hope that I hope that that's something that we can continue to grow and expand here in Nevada state legislature. And that, you know, trickles down to the federal government as well.
With that, we know you have a meeting in a couple of minutes, so we really want to keep you on your schedule. And so just our last two questions really is first, statistically, you know, women are less likely to run for office and even more so less likely to run for higher office. And at such a young age, what you might not know, you might know, I'm not sure, but kind of what does the future of politics look to you? Like, are you maybe considering running for higher office, a governorship or even like a federal office position?
Yeah, I definitely won't close any doors. I don't know what my future holds, you know, over, yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, about my educational like path as well. I know that I want to go back to school. I have my master's already, but I either want a PhD or a law degree. And I know that I want to continue serving the state of Nevada. And I just don't know what capacity that's going to bring me to serve. But I know that I'll continue working in this process and any capacity I can.
And we are rooting you on entirely along the way. Also, just our last question is, you know, I think it's so admirable that you have a background in education and you ran for office. I think it's so important for public office to look like the public. And I think that you're the embodiment of that, you know, just like having a specialty and doing something about it. So what advice do you have for people thinking about running for office or someone who is in their community, a community leader like you were and like how saw issues that they think should change?
I think one of the most important things for somebody that's interested in running for office is that they're rooted in their community, that they're working in the community that they wish to represent. And through there, you'll build relationships and see where you want to serve. And not everybody is going to be the individual that runs for office. I think an important part of this political process are the individuals that don't run for office. They're the individuals that are running the local nonprofits, making sure that we have access to services. They're the individuals running like these political organizations, registering voters, or testifying and presenting here at the legislature. But, you know, being a part of that process, being invested in your community and finding, you know, where you want to fall in this like bigger system of policy and politics, I think is really important. So if you're young and you're interested in running for office, get involved in the community that you wish to represent.
Well, that was awesome. And thank you so much for coming onto our show, you know, speaking to our listeners and giving us the time. We're so happy to have you on today.
Thank you so much having me, and I'll come back anytime.
Thank you, and we are so grateful. And if you ever need any help along the way, you need people to canvass for you or you need interns or anything, let us know and then we'll put it out everywhere as well and we'll get all the help you might need.
Yes, thank absolutely. You.
Thank you, have a good day.
And I said, Mom, I am a rich man, you know, it's like I don't have to marry one.